Praise the Lord. Well, man, I hope you're signing up and you're not waiting for our lovely sisters, mothers, wives and all to help us sign up. I hope you've already signed up. So we're super excited. The speakers are ready. Been in touch with them and looking forward to this year's conference. The men, I'm sure we had a wonderful time in 2019 when Bishop Harrison Sakala took us on. It was something. He's making a comeback this year, and you can imagine picking it up from where he left off. So we're going to have a wonderful time. You want to sign up, ensure that we have a wonderful time as men. And so if you haven't, please make your way. There's a table outside the foyer, and you'll find a wonderful team there that is able to help you with regards to the men's conference. Or later on, you can sign up online. Make sure you sign up before that deadline. Okay. Well, today we continue with the series that Pastor Benjamin opened last week with regards to refocused, energized, and encouraged to serve. And I would like to pick it up from there and share quite a few things that kind of touch home with regards to serving and with regards to what God has called us to do here at Miracle Life Family Church. And as you've heard, like Pastor Benjamin talked about, the new buildings that have been done, and you'll be able to have an opportunity to tour them. One thing that the new buildings have brought is that there's more work to be done. There's more space, but there's more work to be done. And today we'll be able to look at a few things that will help us address some of those things. We'd like to open from the book of Exodus chapter 31, reading from verse 1. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Asimam, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand, with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, with all the utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister as priest, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." This is a very interesting scripture where, especially the last part of the scripture where talks about, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. A scripture that talks about how God wants to work and accomplish his will and his purpose in the earth. Every time that God wants to do something on the earth, right now he will use someone. And so God is counting on people to be able to do his work. And that is why he's anointed different people with different works. And in this case, he's talking to Moses and telling him, "Look, I have anointed these people with certain skills that they should be able to accomplish this work in the house of God. Today, as we're seated, we have different skills. But sometimes we feel our skills or talents and gifts might not be of use in the kingdom of God, but which is wrong. But God is saying that I have anointed them that they be able to accomplish everything that I have commanded you." You see here that Moses was the leader, but he was not going to do it by himself. He was not going to manage to do this by himself. God wanted to accomplish something using the people that were available even with Moses. Pastor Benjamin last week painted the picture why it's important to serve. And I'll be building on that today. Because yes, it's important to serve, but sometimes when you talk about the importance of serving, we view it as though it is that other person who should serve. It should be that other person who probably is more gifted than I am. Or am I even needed? You are needed. And I'd like to show you, first of all, a picture of some people that serve here at Miracle Life Family Church. Some of them are familiar faces that you see. And you see it on the screen that these are people serving in different areas. We have Muna there and everybody else that serves there. But there's something I would like to bring to your attention that is on the side. Miracle Life currently stands at a membership of about 6,147. And of these, only about 10% serve. So 10% are the people that are doing the work of ministry to ensure that Miracle Life fulfills the mission and the vision that God has given us. So the question is, where are the rest of us? And what are we doing? Because 10% is not good enough. It is not good. 600 people serving 6,000 people is too much work. It is a lot of work. And that's why sometimes we see some team members seem worn out. Because why? They've been serving and serving. But we thank God for those that are serving. We thank God for those that are fulfilling the mission and the vision that God has placed on Miracle Life Family Church. God has caused each believer to function in the body of Christ. And part of your stewardship is your service to others. Your service to others. And so today, I'll be inviting you to join the team this year as we seek to take Jesus to every corner of this city, as we seek to mature believers, because we're sharing Christ, we're maturing believers, and we're changing the world. That is what God has called us to do. But it won't happen when every one of us, or the majority of us, are just seated and watching. Ministry, it is about participating. It is not about spectating. I think for a long time, for some of us, we have sat and watched. But God is inviting us to take part in what He is doing here at Miracle Life Family Church. And as we see God do mighty things, we will glorify His name, because we would have been part of what He is doing here at Miracle Life. God is challenging us. God is calling you up today. In Matthew chapter 20, is a section of the book of Matthew, or the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is making His way to Jerusalem, where He will be crucified. But before Jesus arrives, He has a conversation with His disciples about servanthood. Two disciples ask Jesus to give Him the prominent places on His left and right when He comes to power. The other disciples are angry with James and John's blunted grab for power and prominence, because it seems there's a struggle for power in this place. But Jesus uses this occasion to teach His disciples that they have the wrong understanding of leadership in His kingdom. The world measures leadership by how many people serve us. Jesus says He measures leadership by how many people we enable and empower to serve God. Are we empowering people to serve God? What are you doing? It is interesting that the word minister that is talked about with regards to minister of the gospel simply means helper. Somebody that is out there to help. But sad enough, in our world today, it has become a badge of honor and power in the religious and political world. So the story that follows this sermon, we help shed some more light about how that the contrast between the two disciples that demand privileges is so different from the two beggars that plead for mercy, and Jesus turns down the two disciples, but He grants the request of the two beggars. The crowd was trying to stop these two that I'm about to talk about, but see what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, which says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed Him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So what do we need to have this kind of a servant's heart? We all want our lives to matter. It's the reason why we do the things we do. We see how that we chase after promotions, we chase after leadership positions, because we want to make a difference. We encourage our kids to go to college, get a good job, make lots of money, in hopes that they too will make a difference. But there is something wrong, there's nothing wrong with wealth and influence. But those things alone won't change the world. They aren't what you were made for, ultimately. We were made to build the church. We were made to build the church. And that is why in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. Until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Child of God, I want you to listen to this. Those of you that are joining us online, thank you so much and listen to this carefully. God made each one of us with unique talents and personalities and skill sets. He made us that way. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, we are given at least, he has given us a spiritual gift. He has given us grace. He has given us talents, each one of us. And we get the most joy and make the biggest influence and difference when we use our God-given gifts and talents. When we use our abilities to build the church, that is where we get the greatest joy and satisfaction. Last year, we took some time to define who the church is. And we saw that the church is not a building. Yes, buildings are good. We can gather together like this and fellowship. But the church is not a building. But the church is a composition of each and everyone that is here and those that are listening and watching online. We are the church, the called out ones, the saints. We are the church because we are God's people. We are the church. The body of Christ is the church. And I would like to show you today what it means to serve at Miracle Life Family Church. I would like to show you today the importance of what you do when you serve a church. The importance of what you do, the impact that it has, not only in the life of somebody seated to you, but many other lives out there, some of whom probably you never see. But lives are changed when we serve. We've seen the ratio that was showing on the screen, that when you have 10% of our membership that serves, that is not good. That should make you think, why? In fact, when you sit in the auditorium, you'll probably see the ushers standing, they're looking lovely and great. It looks like there are a lot of them, but you won't realize that there are actually few ushers. There are certain Sundays where ushers have to run, especially if you remember back in the days, especially last year before COVID, we would pass offering baskets or offering bags. I remember one usher would probably be serving an entire aisle, pass the bag this way and run to the end. And the one who's holding the offering bag is even upset. Where is the usher? And yet the usher is trying to run the other side to get the other bag and come this way. We never see that because sometimes we sit feeling entitled. They should serve me better. God is calling you to rise up and begin to serve. Instead of complaining, how about we step up, rise up and begin to serve and make the difference? God is calling us. This is not good that only 600 people are serving such a huge church. And we are growing at a very fast rate. This may lead to burnout for a lot of these people. Because they are serving
in many areas, serving in multiple ministries. Some of these people that are serving in multiple ministries. And I'd like to share an example of somebody seated here who serves like this. Somebody you know, probably you've seen him before. This is Mr. Rich Nporokoso, seated right in front here. He serves in the care ministry. As you can see, he's seated here. So after the service, you'll be standing here to pray for people, those who need prayer. He also serves in the counseling ministry. When we just say counseling, probably you won't understand. But he's part of the team that does premarital counseling, so preparing those that will get married. He's also part of the team that does general counseling. So you have got an issue, you need counseling, he's part of that team. In fact, he coordinates that team. He's also part of School for Life, so helps coordinate School for Life with regards to the people that will facilitate, the people that will teach. He will speak to the teachers. He will do everything regarding to that. He also helps with strategic planning for School for Life. He also serves in connection groups, helping to ensure that the zones are well and they are on point. This is one man, Richard Nporokoso. On top of that, he's a husband. It's a full-time job. He's a father. You see, the point of showing you this picture and all this information is not just to show, oh, wow, this man really is committed. No, it's to provoke you to realize that he cannot continue like that. He cannot continue like that. Do you know why? He's only one person. Because he will not be effective if he continues to serve in all these areas. If only he can serve in one, he will be effective because all his gifts will be poured in that area. But like that, he is stripped. Like that, he's too stretched. He's stretching himself too thin. He will burn out. He needs to be there for his family. He needs to be there for his children to raise them. He's a brave man, yes, because he's also coming for the Brave Men's Conference. But the thing is this, he's not the only one. There are a few others that are serving like he is. This is not good. This is not healthy. We may clap, we may feel, oh, he's wonderful. But you know why this is happening? It's because the rest of us are seated and we're watching. We're spectating as though we were watching Manchester United playing. We're spectating and cheering. Ah, miracle life. Ah, that's why I love that church. They keep time. They are on point. Everything is good. The reason why we're on point is because we've got people like him in the background that you never see. But he's tired. He's probably burning out. Tomorrow, if he says, Pastor, I want to step down in this area, I don't know if I'll say no, because I know he's worn out. But who's going to do what he's doing if we're all seated and doing nothing? The scripture we read earlier says these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, and to build up the church, the body of Christ. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. You know, it's interesting that sometimes as believers, we have this thought and understanding that, you see, it's the role of pastors and those that are on staff, they're on staff, they're paid staff and everything. Let's address that today. Let's talk about the role of pastors and staff at Miracle Life Family Church. Their role is not to do the work of ministry. Their role is to equip you, God's people, to do the work of ministry. That is what the Bible says. Their role is to equip you, to give you the tools that will ensure that you do the work of ministry. And that is why in the book of Acts, the apostle says, it is not good that we be the ones to wait tables. Anoint, appoint other men full of the Spirit of God, that they will do this part. There are many of us that are full of the Spirit of God. We are seated. I love to say this. The anointing is not for prestige. Where you just sit and say, I am anointed. No. You are anointed to do the work of ministry. You are anointed to do God's work, not just to sit with the anointing. You're not gifted so you can sit. No. The pastors, the staff are meant to equip you to do the work of ministry. But if now the pastors are the one doing the work of ministry, who will do their role? Who will lead? Who will shepherd? Who will cast vision? And that's why we will not grow as God wants us to do if we remain this way. We are choking and hindering God's work. God is asking you. God is calling you out. Arise and take your place. So the emphasis is not on the staff. They are here to equip you to do the work of ministry. We need your help in case you thought we don't. Because some of us have this understanding and this thinking. I don't know where it comes from. But let's address it as well today. Because there's the thought of thinking, no, everything is on point. Because when you came in, everything was functional. Everything was fine. Because you saw the worship team when you walked in, they were there. Everything, they had a mic. You don't even know, probably one mic was not working and John in the sound booth was busy running from the back to the front to try to connect it at the same time, get back to ensure that the live stream should be on because John is somewhere upstairs. You don't even know that he's the one that ensures that those online should be able to listen clearly. He's not even in the service right now, but somewhere within the building to ensure that happens. But if there was somebody else, he wouldn't need to be there. He would need to be here listening as well because somebody else would be doing that work. And together would be accomplishing God's work. But there's a thought of thinking, no, everything is fine. Everything is okay. Let me tell you something. Everything is not fine. I wish you came and saw behind the scenes what really happens. Because what really happens is that there's a lot of work that is done by few people. And it's not good. It is not good. If you go to the back, sometimes you find, you go there, you find the children's workers, they're serving the teachers, they love Jesus. They're doing great things. And we're so happy because our kids are being taught. But do you even know who's teaching your children? We don't. There are very few, they are understaffed there. But all we want to do is just dump the kids and walk away like we went to a daycare. Because Miracle Life has got the best children's ministry. But who makes it the best? It's the teachers. But they need your help. Some of them won't attend church today. Do you know why? Because they're serving first service and they're serving second service. So does it ever bother us to think they also need God's word so they can keep growing? Or what we think of is, they're fine, they can do it. That's why they are there. Such a mindset is not good, child of God. God is counting on you to rise up and do your part. Do your part. You're equally gifted. You're equally been graced by God to accomplish great things. You need to join a team. We need you. We need your help. Because everything that happens here happens because of teams. There is someone who's on a team that is doing something to ensure that something happens. But I can tell you this. There are certain things that are not happening because we don't have people to lead and do those things. We don't have people. We don't have. Serving a Miracle Life means that everyone is on a life team. Serving here means that you have an opportunity to be part of a life team. It is part of the life that God has given every Christian. And we are to give this life. Through us, God is doing great things. The Bible talks about, and him was a light to all men. Was a life and the light. The life was a light to all men. And when the light shines in darkness, the darkness cannot comprehend it. We are the light of God. We are every one of us. Miracle Life has been called by God to change a nation. We've been called to influence a continent. And if this is going to happen, we need everyone to do their part. We need everyone to do their part. The Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We love this scripture. We quote it often. But how are the people going to experience the life of God if we're seated? Yes, Jesus came that we may have life, and he did this finished work. But others will never hear about the gospel. They'll never hear about this life of God if we're not doing our part. They'll never hear that. And that is why this life is passed on through each one of us as we serve. And that is why at Miracle Life, we'd like to let you know that those who serve will no longer be called as volunteers. They are part of a life team. And now we're calling them life team members because they are bringing about life. They're not just volunteers. They just came to volunteer. No, they are part of a life team. They are bringing life, the life of God. They're bringing forth the life of God. Because that is what God has called us to do. I'd like to read some portions of the vision of Miracle Life, just to remind you in case you may have forgotten. You see, the first paragraph says, "We see a blazing light coming from Lusaka, Zambia. This light is a church named Miracle Life Family Church. We have seen its future brightness with God. It's a future that must come to pass and will come to pass. And we invite you to see this bright future with us." This is what this church looks like. I'll skip and go to the third paragraph, which says, "We see a church of thousands that is healthy, growing, and full of love." Why is that so? Everything that is healthy grows. "Love for the broken and unchurched, and love for one another. This church demonstrates the love of Jesus outside and inside its walls through acts of service." This is a vision. "And God's transforming power. Teams of members share Jesus Christ boldly and clearly through a variety of activities so that our city knows God loves them, and this life comes through Miracle Life Family Church." This is the vision that God has given us. The question is, what are you doing to fulfill this? "We see a church that is radically intentional and effective to present each person mature in Christ. This church works with God's power and grace to grow up ourselves and others into Christ-like followers who love, obey, and produce inordinate amounts of fruit, bringing glory to God. These believers reach their full potential in Christ as they take personal responsibility for their lives, families, and nation. They steward what God has given them and pass it on to further generations." How are you impacting generations when all you do is sit and walk out at the end of the service? How are you influencing generations when all you do is just watch and spectate and say, everything is fine? God is asking you to rise up. God is calling you to step up. The second last paragraph of the vision says, "We see a church that sets a new biblical standard on the African continent. A church that plans and executes with such excellence that it inspires other churches to reach new heights in delivering ministry. This church redefines what is normal when it comes to worship, serving God, and serving others. We see a church whose head is Jesus, whose help is the Holy Spirit, and whose focus is the Great Commission." This is what God has called us. We are to rise up, rise to higher heights for the vision to come to pass. This means more and more members taking their place with a heart to serve. This is what God wants to do. So what happens at Miracle Life has a ripple effect across the nation? Because every one of us has got influence wherever we go. Some of us in your organization, because you've been equipped and you've been mature here at Miracle Life, you go and serve as a great CEO, and people will ask, how is this possible? Because something is happening. God is at work at Miracle Life. Not that we're in any special, but God has given us an assignment, and this is the assignment. But child of God, this assignment will not be done by only 600 people. Every one of us has a part to play. It's the reason why you're here. God sent you here and you're a member here so that you can contribute to the body of Christ. There are very few people that serve currently. We believe that this vision will come to pass. Because God gave us this vision. And for it to come to pass, every one of us needs to be involved. We believe that the vision is not just for membership class or the website. Where you go to the website, you see the vision statement. Oh, it's a lovely vision statement. Yes, it is lovely. But it is something that is happening and needs to come to pass. And it needs to be carried by you all. Anyone who comes in contact with somebody from Miracle Life or somebody or a Life Team member should know the vision and the values of Miracle Life because they are lived out in their service and their care. Today, as we speak, right now, if you're a member of Miracle Life Family Church, you've already received an email with a link for you to sign up as we are talking. With a link for you to sign up to serve as we are talking. Those online, if you're a member of Miracle Life and you're not serving, you have received an email with a link for you to sign up to serve. So if you've not received an email, there's two things that probably have happened. One, you're not a member. Or two, you have not updated your member information. Please do that. But also outside there's a tent. Outside there's a tent. As you were coming, you probably saw it. With the different ministries at Miracle Life. Some of us don't even know the ministries that are here. With a different ministry that you can inquire, you can go and sign up to serve. For some of us, we've given excuses. I don't even know where I can serve. Go outside. You will know where to serve. This is important. This is important. It's time we rise up. So make sure, sign up. You can go to the mobile app. On the screen, we're showing you how you can sign up from the website. You can sign up from the mobile app. It's very easy. You'll be able to find the place where it says serve. Click there. There's a link that will show you. And you fill out a form and somebody will reach out to you that you want to serve. That you want to serve. And obviously for you to serve, you need to be a member. And when we say member, Pastor Benjamin clarified it last week. It's not just attending, but it's having gone through membership class, having signed the commitment form that you want to be part of Miracle Life. And that is what God is calling us to do. God wants us to do great things for Him. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says, why is all this important? This is why it's important. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. By human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Please leave it there. When each part, every joint, each part does its part, it is working properly, it makes the body grow. So this means the opposite is also true. When each part or other parts of the body are not doing their part, and the body is not working properly, the body will not grow. So your lack of serving, your lack of doing God's work, your lack of doing the work of ministry is causing the body not to grow. Can you imagine the impact of not serving? Sometimes it looks like it's nothing, but there's a great impact. And so I'd like to share with you the impact of serving others. What impact does it have? What impact does it bring when we serve others? Number one, serving others allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. Serving others allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Or if the ear should say, because I am not an ear, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. The scripture compares the church to human body. And just like our bodies are made up of different or many parts with specific functions, the church is made up of people with different skills and abilities. Alone, these pieces aren't very useful. But together, we create something beautiful. And that is why, as we serve, it allows us to discover our spiritual gifts and begin to do more. I've heard of people who will sit to say, why aren't you serving? Say, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, the Lord is waiting on you. I'm waiting for direction. No, the Lord is waiting on you. Because the truth is this, you ask those that serve, is that as you are serving, it is only when you are serving you begin to discover where you should be. Maybe you go and start somewhere in the choir or somewhere, and then you begin to realize, say, okay, I think my voice, no, it's not here. Then you probably then move on and go maybe to ushering. Then you realize, or as a greeter, you realize you don't have the best smile. You're not smiling well. You realize, no, maybe it's not here. Maybe then as you're trying something, you've put your hands to something, the Lord will lead you and will help you discover who you really are. Some of us don't even know our core. You don't even know why you exist. You don't even know what God has deposited on the inside of you. You will never know until you step out and begin to serve. Number two, serving allows us to experience miracles. Serving allows us to experience miracles. In John chapter 2, Jesus was at the wedding and the couple was running out of wine for its guests. He tells the servants to fill several big jars to the brim with water. And when they served the water to the guests, which was wine, the guests never knew what happened. The servants were the ones that witnessed the miracle. The people that drank that wine never knew what really happened. They thought the wine was already there. But the servants, the people that were serving, knew the miracle that happened. It's the same thing, and it's so true for us. When we serve, we see miracles. We've seen people healed. Probably you won't even see them on the front, but in the back end, we've seen God work miracles as we serve. As we serve, we've seen God do mighty things. People healed. People set free as we serve. Some of the things we probably have not even publicized. The people that have been serving and people on their team, they're believing God for something. And together as a team, they pray for each other. And God comes through and they celebrate and see God. They see miracles are happening. You're not seeing them. Partly maybe you're not serving. But as you're on a team, because you have people working with you, we celebrate with them. We'll not just be among those that will just receive the benefits, but we'll be able to see that truly, this was a miracle. This was a miracle. An example is that sometimes there was partial lockdown, we were just live streaming. You will realize, and Pastor Benjamin will agree with me, and the tech team will agree with me, that some of the services were miracles. The worship team know what I'm talking about. Because there were moments when we were about to stream live, the internet goes. And now we're trying to figure out and just saying, Lord, you just better show up in here. And we pray together here. I remember we'd hold hands and pray and stand together and see a miracle happen. You'll be there in your bed listening. Oh, service was powerful. You never saw the miracle. We experienced the miracle here as we served. We saw them. We keep seeing them every day. We keep seeing them every day. Number three. Serving. Serving allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. Serving allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As God, as good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, even the strength that we used to serve is supplied by God, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God. In various forms, in different areas, there are plenty of places to serve. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Serving is a form of worship, a way to express gratitude for what Jesus has done for us, to share the love and grace he has given us. There are plenty of places to serve. You can be an usher. You can be in the traffic team. And there you can serve. Helping people park so there can be order. Helping people as they exit so that they don't crash into each other and probably fight on church campus grounds. You are helping people, showing them the love of God. You can serve in children's team. You can serve in the worship team. We need more men in the worship team. The men are seated there with their wonderful voices and thinking, they didn't sing well there. But if they didn't sing well, what are you doing? You should be here, up here, singing and worshiping God, leading us in worship. But you are seated and just condemning. That is not your role. God did not call you to be a complainer. God did not call you to be somebody who only points fingers and complains, say, that is not nice. This place was not swept. God has called you to rise up, pick the broom and begin to sweep and do something about it. That is what God has called you to do. That is what God has called you to do. Number four. Serving helps us to be more like Jesus. Serving helps us to be more like Jesus. Because when we serve, we shift our focus off ourselves onto others through serving. We begin to see others as Jesus sees them. And we see Jesus in others. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You do it as unto the Lord. Because you see people as God really sees them. We encounter different situations. We encounter different people that come needing help. People have real needs. And the real needs, you probably see them when you serve. Because when you serve, you begin to see that people have issues. And you offer yourself to be used by God. To be used of God. So probably you're somebody who God has graced to be able to help people be grounded in the things of God. Alpha needs people to know Jesus. Alpha needs people to ground people to understand the basics of the gospel. All we do is sit and wait and expect, oh, Muna will be there. Kamisa will be there. They are fine. No, we need more people. As more people sign up, we need more small groups in Alpha. They need to be there. In connection groups, we need more people. We need more homes to be open. We need more hosts. We need more leaders. We need people. This church has grown and keeps growing. We can't sustain it the way it is. We need you. In case you didn't know, we need you. Tell your neighbor, we need you. God is calling us to do that. Number five. Serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. Serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. When we are working side by side with other people, a bond is inevitable. It begins to form. And this was part of God's plan and how the church is supposed to work. And that is why Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching." This scripture instructs us to spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. This happens when we serve on teams. Join a life team today. Number six. Serving allows us to experience God's presence in new ways. In new ways. Encouragement and healing go hand in hand. As we encourage others and they find healing, we are also encouraged. It's the reason why so many people who go on mission trips say they came back home feeling that they probably got more than they gave. Because as people were encouraged, as people were built up, they were also encouraged and they were built up as well. Let's save. And lastly, number seven. Serving is good for your soul. Serving is good for your soul. Studies have shown that serving or volunteering is good for the mind and body. That it can ease symptoms of stress and depression. Tapping into our gifts and passion builds self-confidence, energy, and strength. Serving others can also be the best distraction from our own worries and begin to focus on what God wants us to do. Yes, we make so many rational explanations for not serving. Sometimes we say, "I don't have time." Others we say, "I don't know what I would do." Others will say, "I do not have any special skills to contribute." Others would say, "They don't need me." Well, the reality is that God is calling you and He will equip you. God is counting on you and we want you. We need you. Sign up today. Sign up today. Membership in a local church isn't just about having your name on the membership list. But it's about being an active participant as part of the body of believers. Each member of the body must function effectively within the body. That is what God is calling you to do. That is what God is calling you to do. And I'd like to wrap up with this. A story of a man is told that they went fishing. Two guys went fishing. And as they were fishing, the friend stood by the edge. And as he was standing by the edge in trying to get the fish, as he was trying to roll it up, I caught a big fish. He fell into the water. And as he fell into the water, the other friend tried to pick him up. So he tried to grab him by the hair. It was so painful. He was screaming, "Help me, stop that." He let go of the hair. He tried to pull the hand. The hand came off. It was an artificial arm. The guy fell back in the water, still crying for help. And so, the guy tried now to say, "I don't know, okay, let me pull the leg." And yes, you guessed right, it came off. It was also artificial. And the other guy was so frustrated and says, "How can I pull you when you fail to stick together? Can you stick together? Then I will pull you out of the water." The moral of the story was this. If the body is not put together, we will not accomplish much. We will not be able to walk to where God wants us to do. Because every time one arm is stretched out, we'll be stretched thin and will not accomplish what God wants us to do. The question is, what has God called you to do today? What is He asking you to do today? He's simply asking you, rise up, get from that seat, sign up, and serve. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be part of this wonderful body. We pray that, Lord, With His word, you stir up our hearts to serve and to accomplish your purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. With every eye closed and every head bowed down, peradventure you're here and you're listening, and I've been talking about serving in the body of Christ, serving in the kingdom, serving here at Miracle Life Family Church, or serving and being part of what God is doing. Well, first and foremost, before you can even get to a place where you can serve, first you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for you to be part of the body. You cannot serve in the body if you're not part of the body. And to be part of the body, to be part of the church, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Being part of the church, I'm not talking about being a member. I'm talking about being part of the body of Christ. You need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For others, it's probably maybe you've been a Christian for some time, but you're backslidden and you've gotten off the things of God. Today is your day that you need to get back and begin to serve God. Today is the day that you recommit and rededicate your life to Him. So if you're here, you're saying, I've never accepted Jesus. I want to be part of the body of Christ. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need that. I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. I want to pray with you. You're saying, I need Jesus in my life. I need to accept Him. I want to begin to live for Him, that I can serve Him and use my gifts and my talent for God. Do we have anybody? Thank you for that hand. Do we have anybody else? God is calling you. Come home. Then you will serve. Then you will serve effectively. Do we have anybody else? Thank you so much. Don't feel shy. Don't feel bad. God is calling you. Respond to Him. I kindly ask that we all stand. And let's not go. Let's honor this moment as these people accept Christ. And if you accepted Christ, if you responded to that call that you want to accept Christ, I kindly ask that you come and meet me down here. I want to pray with you. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, just come down and meet me here and we want to pray with you. You're saying, I want Jesus in my life. Come. Church, let's encourage them to come. Come. Just come. Come. Anybody else who needs to come? Come. Kindly lift one of your hands as a sign of surrender to God. And I want you to pray this prayer out loud after me. Say, Father, I come to you. I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that He was raised from the dead by God. Today, I receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I am now your child. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for praying that prayer. You are now a child of God. Would you kindly follow Philemon? We have a book that we'd like to give you, and we'd like to also pray with you and help you with this decision you've made. Would you please follow Philemon this way? Thank you. Those will be helped by a wonderful life team member, Philemon. He is serving God to help people that give their lives to Christ be grounded and established. There are many of us that are still here that might be doing that job. I kindly ask that we take our seats at this moment. The service is not yet done. As you are aware, due to the current environment we're in, we obviously are not passing out buckets for offering.
We'll be collecting the offering at the end of the service as we exit. So if in case you need an envelope, ushers are there to give you offering envelope, be it for the building or just the offering envelope. You can just designate your giving to that. Okay? And also, in case you're using, for those of you that are online, in case you like to give, you can use any of the online platforms. You can give via bank transfer, or you can actually give via mobile money payments. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 22, then says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. God has been faithful. Jacob was making a vow to God to say, I will do this, I will give a tenth, I will offer to you, and you will be my God. Today I believe we can testify that God has been good. And because of his goodness, we can give back to him as we worship him and acknowledge to say, he has been good to me. So this morning encourages, as we give, let's give honoring God, knowing that he has done mighty, mighty things for us. So in case you have a need in your life, we have wonderful people from the care team. They're standing right in front with Brother Richard and the team, ready to serve you, ready to pray with you. In case you have a need in your life, they want to pray with you. Believe and stand in scripture that God will come through for you. And also to remind you, we have a tent outside depicting and showing the different ministries here at Miracle Life Family Church. We encourage you to serve, and then you will never be the same again, because you'll be helping spread the gospel. Please, let's remain seated. The worship team will bless us in a song. The ushers will guide us and direct us as we will exit from the back to the front. God bless you.